From Fox News Radio,
welcome to Fox and Food.
I'm Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio. We're talking with baking legend and many-time James Beard Award winner Dory Greenspan, who's sharing holiday baking tips from her 11th book, Baking Chez Moi, on what you should do to turn out some amazing treats for your friends and family.
Easy treats. It's interesting that with this collection in particular, the recipes in Baking Chez Moi, I find myself returning to them over and over. I make the custardy apple squares, which you can put together in 10 minutes, at least once a week. I made Laurence pineapple, which is poached, well, it's roasted in the oven, roasted pineapple with jam and orange juice as a sauce. I make it just when I know friends are coming because it's an easy, light dessert. These are desserts that are really home desserts, and they are ones that you will go back to over and over again. I live part-time in Paris, and it was really interesting working on this book to discover how simple the desserts are that French people bake at home, because mostly they don't bake. Mm-hmm. When they have company coming, they'll buy something from a pastry shop, as I would, too, if I had all those gorgeous shops, you know, on every corner. So when they bake at home for family and for friends, they bake things that are super, super simple. And so I was so happy to be able to collect these really easy recipes, which are great for the holidays.
What are some favorites?
One of the recipes that really surprised me, and it would, you'd hardly, when I tell you about it, you'll hardly think French, are the desert roses. The name sounds so romantic, but actually what they are cornflakes treats. They are so much better than they really have to be. So cornflakes, dried fruit, nuts, a little coconut if you want, all held together with melted chocolate and melted butter. And so you could make these with kids. Great to do with kids. And you just spoon them out, and you can keep them in the refrigerator. So when friends come by, you've got something delicious to munch on. That's actually one of my favorites. I did that for Thanksgiving, and with all the pies and tarts that I made, that was the first thing to go.
Oh, really?
Yes, everybody grabbed them. They're fabulous.
So then, a box of Kellogg's and dry fruit and good chocolate.
That's good chocolate. There, you've said it. Yeah.
Cookies are hugely popular.
As they should be. So cookies are both the easiest thing to make. People make beautiful cookies, and then they store them improperly. So that all of their great cookies don't taste as good as they should because they've been stored improperly. So there are a couple of rules for storing cookies. Store soft cookies with soft cookies and crispy ones with crispy. If you put them together, all you'll have are soft cookies. And those fabulous ginger snaps that we all love and the spice cookies for Christmas, keep them separate because everything will taste like spice if you do that. Now, one of the things that I like to do to get ready for holidays and to have cookies on hand is to make slice and bake cookies. For instance, the first cookie recipe in Baking Chez Moi is a vanilla bean sablé. Sablé is the word for shortbread in French. And you can make cookie logs up to 2 months ahead of time so that you can always have cookies ready to go. And so you make the dough, form it into a tight log, wrap it so that it's really airtight, and keep it in the freezer until you're ready to bake. And you can cut as soon as the dough is soft enough to cut, and that's only about 10 minutes out of the freezer. You can just cut as many as you want, and you can put the rest of it back. So you'll always have cookies at the ready. The freezer is really like a little treasure trove. You just have to reach in, take out dough, and bake fresh cookies.
You're assuming that my freezer doesn't have, like, 5 pounds of chicken and...
Oh, who wants chicken for the holiday? No.
Toss all that stuff. Forget about dinner, kids.
No, cookies. Dinner. Underrated. Right. Overrated. Right. Dinner's overrated. Yeah, cookies. That's okay. What we want. One of the important things about mixing cookie dough is you don't want to beat too much air into the dough. So, you know, the standard cookie is beat the butter and the sugar together, add the eggs, then add the flour. When you're beating the butter, the sugar, and the eggs, don't beat until they're fluffy. That's great for a cake and not so good for a cookie. What you want with a cookie is just to beat until the dough comes together. Too much air and the cookie will rise in the oven and then collapse.
Oh, interesting.
So go easy on the beating and go really, really easy once you add the dry ingredients. The flour, cocoa, any kind of leavening. You want to mix only until it disappears into the dough. Don't overmix it, and that way you'll keep the great texture that you want in a cookie. Actually, I have a tip for you for drop cookies.
Okay.
Instead of using a spoon to drop cookies, use a cookie scoop or a small ice cream scoop. That way, all of the cookies will be beautifully formed. They'll all have the same shape. And more important, they'll all be the same size, which means that they'll bake evenly. And it also means that you won't have fights with the kids like, oh, that cookie's bigger than that one. They're all the same size. So if you're having a big party, bar cookies are the way to go.
Do you have any favorite ones?
Brownies. I love brownies.
Are brownies technically cookies?
So I knew you would ask that. And I consider them cookies. For years, I thought, okay, are they cake? Are they cookie? And then I decided, I'm a grown-up. They can be anything I want them to be. Brownies or cookies.
Okay.
There's a cookie in baking chamois that I absolutely love. It's they're called crispy-topped brown sugar bars. And so you make a dough that you just put into a pan. And then when the dough is baked, you put chopped chocolate over it. This one's really easy. And just spread the chocolate over the dough. Mm-hmm. And so you could leave it at that. You'd have a delicious brown sugar cookie base, and you'd have chocolate on top. And you could just sprinkle some nuts over it or some little pearl sugar or little sprinkles. It would be great. But what I love to do is, I must be on a cereal kick, because what I like to do is caramelize Rice Krispies. So they get sugar-coated, and then I put them on top of these cookies. Tarts are so French and so beautiful. And crusts are so much easier to make than you'd think, because you can, I can tell you're not a roller. You don't want to roll anymore.
Trader Joe-er.
Well, you could do that. You can get ready-made tart dough. You can also make the tart dough in a food processor and just press it into the pan. And I would fill it with pears. Pears that you just cook for about 5 minutes in brown butter. It'd be delicious. And there's a recipe, of course there's a recipe for that. It's the pear tart with a crunchy almond topping. So I love anything you can get your hands into. So just egg whites, sugar, and sliced almonds, and you put them in a bowl and you mix them up with your hand and just put it over the top. And when it bakes, the egg white becomes a meringue, and so you have this toasted almond meringue topping on the pears. It's great.
That sounds great.
So these are all, you know, things like that. It's almost a trick, because it's so simple and it dresses up something very, very simple. You can do the meringue trick on any kind of tart. And I've actually done it on top of brownies to add another texture. So it's
you
just,
and your brownies.
I love brownies. Are you not a brownie lover?
No, I love my brownies.
I've done it on top of brownies. I've done it on top of plain white cakes, it would be the top of a layer cake. So it's just make sure the nuts are just covered in the egg whites and sugar, and just spread it over the top, and it bakes with the cake or the cookie, and you get that crunch and that beautiful look of kind of that lumpy, bumpy look of almonds and meringue. It's beautiful. It's very simple, but it looks impressive. It looks very pastry shop.
So you've been called Julia Child's favorite baker. What was it like to work with Julia Child?
Oh, working with Julia was so wonderful. She was exactly the same in person as she was on television. She was funny, she was smart, she was curious, she was warm, she was generous, she was encouraging, and she really was funny. She was so funny. So
she ad-libbed a lot of her
on-air. Yes, and she did. So may I tell you about when I first met her?
Please.
I met Julia in 1991. I had just written my first book, And we were at a food event, and there was a dinner after the event. And she said to me, will you have dinner with me? Sit at my table. Mm-hmm. And I said, I would love to. I can't do her voice, but I said, I would love to. So I'm sitting at the table, and she turns to me. She says, have you ever seen the imitation that Dan Aykroyd did of me on Saturday Night Live? And I said, Julia, I think I'm probably the only person in America who's never seen that. It involves a chicken and blood and all kinds of things, right? I said, no, I mean, I knew about it, but I'd never seen it. I said, no, Julia, I've never seen it. She said, well, here's how it went. And she stood up and did the entire Saturday Night Live routine, right? So there I was. My eyes were, you know, as big as the proverbial saucers, right? And so there's Julia Child imitating Dan Aykroyd, imitating Julia Child. It was fabulous. Oh. She was wonderful.
So what was it about your baking that she loved so much?
I think we had a similar sensibility, that we both loved things that were genuine, that we loved traditional foods. We loved simple foods. Neither one of us was really fussy in terms of not wanting to overly decorate anything. Not, we really wanted the flavors to come through. Mm. And it was more than she liked my baking. One day she put her arm around me and she said, we make such a good team because we're just a couple of home bakers. Mm. And I talked to her a little bit about it because, after all, I mean, she was trained as a chef and she was, she was remarkable. And I talked to her about it and I said, what do you really mean when you say a home baker? And she said, we both love baking. We would bake it. We would bake all the time, even if it weren't what we do for a career. Uh-huh. She said, also, we want to teach people. And that we really care about other people who are baking at home, and we want them to be successful. And that really touched me, because it is the way I feel about, particularly the way I feel about writing. You know, I write so that you can go home and feel good about what you bake and be proud of yourself for having, you know, made it and be happy to share it with friends and family.
What are you doing for New Year's?
Oh, I'm doing what I've done for almost the past 20 years. So we are in our apartment in Paris for New Year's, mm-hmm. and I always make dinner for friends. So we have a crew of regulars, and then whoever's in town kind of stops by. So last year we were 26 for dinner. And we always have oysters, and we have smoked salmon, and we have foie gras, and we have fabulous cheese. And then at 11:30, we stop everything, no matter where we are in the meal, and we grab bottles of champagne and glasses, and we bundle up, and we go to a bridge over the Seine. We go to the Pont des Arts, which connects the Louvre to the Institute of France, and you can see from the bridge, you can see the Eiffel Tower. And so we welcome the new year in on the bridge. We toast the new year with our champagne outdoors, looking at the Eiffel Tower over the River Seine. And then we come back and have dessert.
Sounds amazing.
It's a pretty fabulous way to celebrate the new year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
The legendary Dori Greenspan. I'm Lillian Wu, Fox News Radio, and this is Fox and Food.